Welcome to another edition of Always Right with Rochelle, the Right Now Coach. Today I'm delighted to be speaking with Caroline Adams Miller. Caroline is a graduate of Harvard University, Coach U, and the groundbreaking Masters in Applied Positive Psychology program at the University of Pennsylvania. Caroline joins us to talk about her wonderful new book, Creating Your Best Life. Welcome, Caroline.
Hi, Rochelle. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. I love this book so much. Can you tell our listeners what Creating Your Best Life is about?
Yes. It is the first book to ever combine the science, the cutting-edge science of positive psychology, with the science of goal accomplishment, which is my passion. It is my niche in the coaching field. And this was really birthed when I was at the University of Pennsylvania getting that master's degree in positive psychology a few years ago. And I realized that there were no books anywhere, in the bookstore anywhere, that would help my clients or me set and accomplish goals, which is a big part of coaching, that had any kind of science. So I set about to write the first one, and I did, and voila, here's the book.
Oh, and it's great. So can you talk about, you talk about it this in the book, and I know it because we went to Coach U together, but talk about how life lists have been valuable to you and your clients.
Well, the idea of a life list can be kind of broken down in a couple different ways. A life list is really a set of goals. And some people like to think of the bucket list approach, like the movie The Bucket List with Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman, as kind of a list of extraordinary things you want to do before you die. It can also be a list of things that you want to do short term, let's say in the next 1 to 3 years, or in the next 5 to 10 years. So not necessarily the legacy list, but, you know, still a life list.
Yeah.
And it does do several very, very important things, according to the research. It takes on the power of journaling because you're actually getting your thoughts and goals down on the paper. You're checking for goals and conflict, which is really, really important. A lot of people don't realize till they have it on paper that they are pursuing two goals that actually conflict with each other and that they need to move one or the other one, you know, down or up, depending on what the goal is. And it also gives you a roadmap, and roadmaps give people hope and direction. And so I've been using this approach for over 10 years in my coaching practice, and I decided to make it the vehicle with which to explain the connection between goal setting and happiness.
So tell me about how goal setting helped you to get this book done.
Well, I got a call from Sterling Publishing, which is the publishing house for Barnes & Noble, the big booksellers. I got a call from the head of acquisitions right after he saw me quoted pretty extensively in a New York Times article on lists, and it was tied to the bucket list movie. And he said, love the topic. Can you write a book? Can you write a book about it? And I said, well, sure, I think so. I've written a number of other books. This would be wonderful. And by the way, I've already written 2 chapters as part of my capstone. And I went and I wrote a book proposal, and I submitted it to him, and they voted to accept the book. But then he said, you've got the tightest deadlines we've ever given an author ever.
Wow.
About 3 months. It's a heavily researched book. And so what I did was I shut down my coaching practice, major, major risk. But it was a reward I wanted to go after. And so you were my accountability partner.
Yep.
So I had very clear goals. And for any writer on any kind of deadline, having someone like you or another accountability partner can really make the difference between having a great idea and then actually getting that great idea on the paper. And so I had short-term goals. And, for example, you and I would talk, and I would have page counts, or I would say, this is what I'm going to write about today, and report back to you by email or phone.
Yep.
And then long-term goals, like where do I want the book to be in a year? And that's how I got it done. And there was really no shortcut. It was a lot of hard work and a lot of goal setting and a lot of accountability, and it paid off.
Wow. So what other kinds of support did you use to get the book done so quickly?
Well, you know, I talk about this in the book around the, you know, social contagion theory.
Yep.
And I had to be surrounded by people who understood how important it was to me and what kind of value I was placing on it. And the people it hit the hardest was my family.
Yeah.
Because when I realized I had to write the entire book in such a short period of time, I had to shut the coaching practice down and at one point move away from my family, which was just a massive, massive sacrifice. But, You know, they understood that Mom was going after something that meant a lot to her, that it was my dream. And also I explained to them a piece of what's also in the book, which is the research on risk-taking and regrets. And
yeah.
I never, ever wanted to say that I hadn't tried. I remember crying as I was driving from my home in Washington, D.C., over the Bay Bridge to, you know, there were three separate locations that I begged, borrowed, and stole from people I didn't even know. And in one case, you know, two cases, some friends who just offered me places gratis. And I was crying as I crossed the Bay Bridge thinking, I don't know if I can do this. I really don't know if I can do this. But I'm going to try. And so my family, I had you, I had my accountability group here, this is an in-person group, more than a book club is what we call ourselves.
Wow.
And they all remember me coming in and saying the same thing, which is, you know, people, I've done a lot of things in my life, but this is the biggest challenge I've ever taken on other than recovering from my eating disorder. And they would say, oh, you can do it. And I would say, well, I'm glad you believe in me because I'm not sure I believe in myself at the moment. This is huge.
Wow.
And if it weren't for them and you and my family and a couple other very carefully selected people who knew what I was up against, I never would have made it. I mean, I had to have that critical mass of support, emailing me, calling me, sending me cards, and understanding that I had to be AWOL in a lot of people's lives for a few months.
And yeah.
You know, I missed a lot of things in my children's lives. I mean, that's something writers have to understand, is that there will be times when you have to sacrifice things you want to do that are pleasant.
Yeah.
Like seeing my son compete at the ACC Swimming and Diving Championships in Atlanta. I missed that. I missed my 25th anniversary trip with my husband to Jamaica. I missed all of my son's wrestling matches. I missed half of my daughter's crew regattas. I missed good friend's son's bar mitzvah. I missed an extraordinary number of things, but it was a short-term, intense goal that everybody understood meant a lot to me, and people were very gracious about it.
You know, it's so interesting to hear you talk about this, that you were willing to give this stuff up, because so many of my clients say things like, well, I can't do it because I'm too busy, or my kid needs this, or the publishing world is hard. And so there's all these excuses that kind of get in between them and their work. I'm wondering if you have advice about people who are plagued by excuses.
Well, I write about this in the book, the chapter on grit, is that you have
yeah.
to have a certain amount of grit, and you have to be willing to sit through the discomfort and the excuses and the procrastination and just do it. And people tend to give too much credence to their feelings of I have to be inspired to write it, I have to have the right setting to write it. And that's not necessary. If you have a burning desire to write a book, then you really need to make a plan and
yeah.
stick to it. Whether it's, you know, even Ernest Hemingway had, when he was, you know, in his drunken binges, he had a word count for every day that he adhered to. I mean, all great writers, and I'm not saying I'm a great writer, I'm just a writer, but all great writers have a system of turning out pages and word counts because that's how you do it. It's not
yeah.
magic, it's actually about output that is predictable and measurable.
So talk about some of the other tools from that you talk about in the book that you use to help you get this book done.
Well, self-regulation. I made that chapter 6 for one very important reason, which is if you don't have self-regulation, which is also known as willpower, there is no goal you can accomplish. There simply isn't. So you have to apply a certain amount of saying no to yourself, having a certain amount of willpower in order to get anything done. And so I had to apply that. I had to say no to myself when I wanted to do all these wonderful things. I mean, who gives up a trip to Jamaica?
Yeah, really.
A four-star hotel. Who gives up seeing your child succeed in a sport they've been, you know, pursuing for over 10 years? These were all major sacrifices, and the short-term pleasure would have been, you know, wonderful. But you need self-regulation. So I really applied that muscle. You know, when I moved to Bethany Beach in Delaware on the shores, which is where I got most of my good writing done, first thing I did was join a gym. Because
wow.
I knew that I had to be fit physically in order to adhere to this tough, tough, really tough standard that I had to adhere to. So I had to have the self-regulation. I had to stay fit. I also took breaks. I mean, it's important that you take breaks. So you have to savor the win. So I would have a win on a regular basis. I was churning out about one good chapter every 3 days. And these are heavily footnoted chapters, as you know. And so every 3 days or so, I would send it off to my editor at Sterling, and you would take a look at it, and I would just take a couple hours off, and I'd walk on the beach, and I'd you know, call some friends and say, I did it, I did another chapter, and, you know, so I savored the wins, and that's an important thing, too. You can't just be a grind. You have to stop and savor. So I did a little bit of that, too.
Oh, that's great. Now, you're talking about going away to write, and I know that's been a very helpful tool for you. Can you talk about, you know, why it can be a lifesaver to just check into a hotel and...
Yeah. I think I should be the new Priceline spokesperson.
Yeah.
I live in the Washington, D.C. area, certainly one of the most expensive areas in the whole country, if not the world. And I found that even though I'm very, very productive at home, I have a full-time coaching practice, starts early in the morning, you know, I end at 3, clients all over the world, and I can coach from my office, I really couldn't write. I mean, I could write a little bit, but it was not that great, and it wasn't, you know, I wasn't producing the output I needed to produce, and I really tried. I would put blinders on, I'd put headphones on, and one of the things I realized is that I had to, and again, this is in the book, I had to create an unprimed environment. I had to create an environment that was associated with nothing but success. So I did a Priceline bid pretty much every Wednesday for about, you know, when I was in town, either every week or every other week, Priceline bid, saying that I wanted to bid, say, $43 in the Washington, D.C. area for a 2-star, 3-star hotel, and I've never been turned down. So, for example, this weekend, I'm on deadline for my next book, which is due in a few weeks, and for about $100, I get 48 hours in a lovely hotel where I write completely uninterrupted, and it has saved my life. It's the reason why I'm doing 2 books in 1 year.
Wow.
And everybody needs a room of one's own.
Yep.
If you can't do Priceline, then you can go, for example, I begged, borrowed, and stole these beach houses. But I think it's important that people not label themselves as undisciplined if they can't write in an environment in which they do something else very productively. Because the research on priming states that these environments are actually associated subconsciously and consciously with certain activities. And if you try to introduce a new activity, it may not work in that environment. So create another one. So you don't have to go to a hotel, but it worked for me because my husband was home with the children. I didn't have to worry about who was there. So it was family friendly to do this.
Oh, that's a great tip.
It's fantastic. Priceline ought to be on everyone's short list of ways to get a book done, or one of your writing retreats, which I think is very similar to doing a Priceline bid because you get away to an unprimed environment. There's an entire environment of success. You know, everyone's expected to be successful and to be productive. So that creates a spirit that's contagious. So I think everyone's got to find the system that works for them. But getting away, I would think, is number one on everyone's list.
That's great. So, Caroline, do you have a final tip that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
If you have a book inside of you, honor that desire, honor that wish, because you will forever regret not attempting to do it if you don't try. So just make an outline, find an accountability partner, and start to churn out pages. I have one client now who's written, I'm going to say, about 20 chapters of a book that I think is going to get published within a year simply by having being accountable constantly to turn chapters in. So if you have that desire, you know, honor it and do something about it.
That's great. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. And you were an indispensable part of getting this book out, and I can't ever thank you enough for that.
Oh, thank you. And it's just, I have to reiterate to our listeners, it's such a helpful book and full of just the most amazing cutting-edge research. So,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Another one.
You're welcome.
More books.
This has been another edition of Always Right with Rochelle, the Right Now Coach. You can find a link to Caroline's website and her new book at my website, rightnowcoach.com. Thanks for tuning in, and remember to always write.